Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
I don't love junior mints. I just don't hate them. I don't understand why they are treated like second-class candy.
It's Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
Oh, you don't understand why a candy that is basically toothpaste wrapped up in stale chocolate is treated like a second-class candy. All right, I get it. It's a good, valid question.
It's Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
Is there a time to change? You know, the three teams I've drafted this year... Second class candy is pretty good.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Three teams. When was that? 5 minutes after the Super Bowl? Ha ha ha. I'm texting Sigmund Bloom because I think we can't reach him. So hopefully we do. Mike Schoep here. Bulldog is off again today. Back with me on Tuesday as we hit week one. In the meantime, I'm not sure if we'll be able to get Sigmund. I sure hope we do. 803-0550 is our number if you want to jump on talking about the culmination of the offseason with the Bills. Of course, with Sigmund, we talk fantasy football, and that's what we try to do a lot on Fridays in the summer, this being the last one. I mean, we're going to do some more of it during the season, of course. It's very popular, but I can try to answer a question or two if you have fantasy questions with drafts. This is the biggest draft weekend of the year. I'm going to come in at around 200. I had a funny conversation with a friend yesterday who asked me how many leagues. I get the question a lot. People know, like, how many leagues? And I say, like, hear me out, okay? Hear me out. It's around 200. But the vast majority, you don't do anything. They're called best ball drafts. So somebody figured out that people love to draft, but can only draft so many because you can only manage so many. There's only so much time in the day. And some of these managed leagues for high stakes are just like you have to get really serious and focus on waivers and just, you know, how to be different when you get to the tournament weeks because you're trying to beat so many different teams to win big money. There's just a lot to think about. It's a lot of work, quote work. So I said, 200-ish, but vast majority, you don't do anything. So it's not as bad as it sounds. And my friend's like, yeah, sure, you know, save it. 200 teams is 200 teams. I brought this up. I was on a podcast on Wednesday night called Ship Chasing. Those of you that are hardcore for fantasy may know it. I'm not sure you would if you weren't. And these guys on that show play, I mean, a lot more than that. And I just don't know how they do it. One of the guys in the group who I know, a friend of mine, these tournaments come up all the time. And, I mean, they're not all for big money. There are $1,000 tournaments, you know, and that, but some of them are like $3. And they'll let you, if you ever play like FanDuel or DraftKings, DFS, Daily Fantasy Sports, you know that there's like a pretty big number of entries that you're allowed to submit, maybe 150. There's a max, 150 teams. So these guys will play 150 teams to try to, you know, give them, just like with FanDuel, give themselves the best chance of winning. And I don't know how you can do it. And so what they do is just auto draft, maybe all of them sometimes, set the rankings the way they want, their own rankings, and then they just auto draft $3 tournament, 150. It's just out of control how much volume there is. One of the guys I was talking to said one of their other friends is at 2,000. For the year, 2,000 teams in fantasy football. Mike Dempsey comes on the show. He's way higher than me. So I mean, it's just sort of like, yeah, it's a lot of money, obviously, but if you can spend it, if you can afford it, and have sort of the patience and the obsessive aspect of it, whatever else, whatever the formula is that would bring you to this level, to bring you to this state, this altered state, just the more entries you have, the better chance of winning. So that's the simple logic of it. No luck with Sigmund Bloom at this point. 803-0550 for your calls. I said earlier I wanted to talk about Josh Allen and the MVP. I'm just flipping through my notebook today, looking for ideas, you know, things we've talked about. It's the end of the offseason, stuff that we've discussed. And I found I had written out one day the last, whatever it is, 12 NFL MVP winners. And so there's a pro and a con argument for Allen's chances this year. He's, of course, been very close. Several years, he's been right up there, just hasn't won. And I think part of the pro argument would be that somebody like that, I think you tend to feel like they deserve one. So if they play at the same high level and no one else is just like obvious, then they might get that vote that year. I don't know how much history, though, there is of that happening. If you remember, this is how we had it with Russell Wilson back when he played with Seattle. I remember Chris Collinsworth one night talking about Wilson. Oh, Sigmund's ready, by the way. He just texted me back. So if we want to do that. He was stuck in traffic. Sorry. We were talking about Russell Wilson one time, or Chris Collinsworth was. He pointed out that Wilson had never gotten an MVP vote. And so the sort of a career achievement award. But the problem with that argument is if you look up the last 11 NFL MVPs all the way back to 2013 and Peyton Manning when he won his fifth, every one of these players was a quarterback and their team was a top two seed. It's 9 number one seeds and 2 twos in 11 years. Your team's going to have to win big. Allen might be a nice idea. I mean, he's obviously come close, and that other argument's logical, but if the Bills are not 12 or 13 wins and at least the 2 seed, then I think he's in tough. Here is Sigmund Bloom on the Western Hotline, footballguys.com. Hello, Sigmund.
Fashionably late.
It's just fine. Always excited to have you on, of course. And here we are, Labor Day weekend. Everybody calls this the biggest draft weekend of the year, but not always for the pros. Maybe it is for you. Right. Maybe it isn't. I mean, those of us who've been drafting all summer, it may or may not be the biggest draft weekend for them.
Yeah, it's almost anticlimactic if you've been drafting all summer. It gives you one last opportunity to see how people are reacting to things like Jamar Chase or Kyren Williams as a punt returner. But we've been staring at this stuff for so long that it's going to be great to have actual games to start to test our hypotheses and see what happens. But I know for home leagues, for high-stakes leagues, there's still a lot of drafts left.
And in a lot of those tournament leagues, you are playing on hoping to have an edge in the things you're talking about, whatever it is, Ayuk being signed, somebody gets hurt, whatever you think of what the Kyren Williams discourse was this week, how he's going to return punts, which is something I'm choosing to not care about. And then Chase, and you brought up Chase. So is it at the point now a week away where you would move him down, start to worry?
Yes. I think if you're drafting this weekend and you have the 8 pick, the 9 pick, you better have clarity on, you know, do you want A.J. Brown or Jamar Chase? Maybe even 10. Do you want Garrett Wilson or Jamar Chase? Because unlike the Cowboys, who are just a bit hard-headed but eventually come to their senses, or the 49ers, who just want everyone to think they won the negotiation, the Bengals are cheap. Like with a capital C, cheap, the cheapest franchise. And while they did Joe Burrow's deal before his rookie contract was up, it sure seems like they're not going to do Ja'Marr Chase's deal with 2 years left on his rookie contract. And all indications are Chase is willing to take this into the regular season. And it's not just regular season games that he may miss, of course, but it's conditioning and the possibility of injuries early in the season. And I think then it ripples down to, what do you think of T. Higgins? What do you think of Joe Burrow? Maybe moving someone like Andre Oshivas up, giving Mike Gesicki a little more of a chance, because we may be looking at this offense against a New England defense that traded away their best player this offseason in week one.
Yeah, interesting. I haven't thought about this too much for Higgins, but what a potential development for him, as so much of the spring and summer was about whether he would play.
Right.
And then, you know, he's eventually in there on the franchise tag, and if Chase sits, then you could do worse than T. Higgins as a number one.
Absolutely. He should be there maybe in the fourth round right now. And ironically, it would be the spendthrift ways of the Bengals that could allow him to have that monster year that he needs going into free agency.
That is ironic. That is an absolutely appropriate use of the word ironically. Sigmund Bloom on the West Her Hotline. So to put a bow on Chase here, when would you say yes? You mentioned a couple receivers. You have Puka Nacua, London Harrison after that. Would he, in your mind, deserve to fall to round two?
Probably not. I would say Garrett Wilson is where it becomes more difficult. And then if you like Saquon Barkley, if you like Jonathan Taylor, if the hamstring injury didn't scare you off of Jahmyr Gibbs. But I do see from Garrett Wilson to that next tier of wide receivers, there is a clear drop, even though it's just a few picks or maybe the next pick in your draft. I think there's a significant drop in terms of ceiling. And Ja'Marr Chase still has that high ceiling.
Sigmund, so Christian McCaffrey, the consensus number one, there's no reason to need to explain that to anybody. Are you there? I mean, I think Breece Hall and Bijan Robinson, just among the running backs, have very compelling cases. And, I'm happy to draft those guys 2, 3, 4, mixing in with like CeeDee Lamb and Tyreek. But I haven't gotten to the point yet where I'm comfortable putting them at one.
I'm not comfortable putting another running back at one. In point per reception leagues, I am comfortable putting CeeDee Lamb at number one. And the reason is the twofold shadows. It's the calf injury. Okay, we have to pick, Mike, you can pick any player in the entire NFL. How about not a player that is already hurt? But even if you're willing to take that chance, because he got dinged during the regular season last year, he didn't miss a game. He's showing us that he's durable. Trent Williams is still holding out. And Trent Williams is the best player in that offense. He's the most important player in that offense. And the efficiency falls off of a cliff. And he is also, clearly, this has not been one of those hold-ins. This is a true hold-out. And he's willing to take this into the regular season without a doubt. So when you add those two things together, and CeeDee Lamb signs with 2 weeks before the first game, so I think that we shouldn't be too fearful of him having an early season injury because of a lack of conditioning, I think McCaffrey falls to number two. And if Tyreek Hill wasn't having this thumb issue, I would say maybe number three.
And Waddle, by the way, might have a calf thing, speaking of Tyreek Hill as well. So keep close tabs on all this out there if you're drafting this weekend. Sigmund Bloom on the West Her Hotline. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. He'll be back with me on Tuesday. McCaffrey is such an amazing player, and the great lesson is just not to overreact to, quote, injury-prone, players. As he had a couple of years where people started to write off the possibility of his being a bell cow in fantasy. Last year, a league-leading 339 touches,
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Leading 2,023 scrimmage yards and league-leading 21 combined rushing and receiving touchdowns. Not bad. So be very, studious about injury prone as a concept.
Oh, I agree. And I think Christian Watson is a player that comes to mind, Mike, where we're going to test that. because in this case, we might be having to redefine our ideas of injury prone as a label that sticks to a player, because Watson and their cornerback, I think Stokes, went to the University of Wisconsin to have their hamstring issue studied. And, you know, with Watson earlier in the offseason, it was disclosed with something about an imbalance in his muscle mass in his legs. And even if it's just a placebo, even if they just tell Watson, you're not going to have, this has been a wonderfully quiet preseason in camp for Christian Watson. So I think we do have to consider that. And going back to Jalen Waddle really quick, I already mentioned Andre Iosivas, potential number two receiver for the Bengals to open the season. Malik Washington,
yep,
who really came on at the end of the preseason, the sixth-round pick for the Dolphins. They only have four wide receivers, which should make you more interested in Devin Achane in the second round, but should especially make you more interested in Malik Washington in the late rounds, because he looks like he's really ready to go. And I think the story was that Mike McDaniel, I believe, was asking for them to take him for rounds before they finally did take him.
What's here, I'm going to use ironic now, my turn. What's ironic for me is, because I just almost always avoid older running backs, that a guy who led the league in rushing touchdowns this year is really not interesting to me. And that's Raheem Mostert from that team. But you lose that way sometimes. I lost on Derrick Henry for a couple of years because I just didn't want to bet on an older running back.
I think that in fantasy football, you'd rather be a year early than a year late, anticipating that decline for running backs is usually right. And I think we look at Joe Mixon as another player that, unless the Texans showed us that they believe he's still a vital feature back, we are looking at him as someone who's in his decline phase of his career. The Bengals certainly were looking at him that way. So I think you're right. But with Mostert, I'm going to go large, big picture with this one, Mike. I do think that we have overweighted age and injury worries about players. There should be a discount on Cooper Kupp. But a player who was going top five last year falling to the third round, that feels like he's in the clearance bin. There should be a discount on Raheem Mostert. He had about a third round value based on what he did last year. Falling to the eighth round, when Mike McDaniel said in June he is still the leader of that backfield, and going back to what I said, if Devin Achane is as a receiver, if they're looking at him as a receiver, and that's why they feel comfortable carrying only four receivers, that's good for Raheem Mostert. And then I've got to mention a late round pick again, Jalen Wright, the backup running back to both probably Mostert and Achane in Miami. And we know this is going to be the most productive running game in the league.
Very good. All right. To your point about a year too early versus a year too late, Stephon Diggs. So the Bills hope they were right to be maybe early on, you know, trading Diggs. Your thoughts on him and the Texans? Like, he's been about a third round pick, sometimes fourth this year.
And that's too high. That's way too high. He's the number three receiver. I think he's the number three receiver the same way that Keenan Allen is the number three receiver for Chicago. And I might take Allen over Diggs at this point, but I'm pretty sure that somebody's going to take both of them before I would. I think the interesting thing to watch with Diggs, and this could be a net positive for the Bills and potentially a negative for the Texans, we'll see, is that Josh Allen should feel a great weight lifted from his shoulders because he doesn't have to make sure that Diggs is happy. He doesn't have to think about that during games. And now the Texans and CJ Stroud do. So I think we could see an efficiency bump, and we could see just this offense run smoother in Buffalo. And I'll be very interested to see if we have an unhappy Stephon Diggs on the sidelines in Houston the first time he only gets three or four targets in a game.
Diggs has been a first-round pick here in recent years. The first Bills receiver drafted this year, as we get to Labor Day weekend and the end of the, you know, the summer, is Keon Coleman, usually in the late seventh. You've been a you're the first Shakir guy I know, I think of, because we talked after the Bills drafted him. And then, of course, there's Curtis Samuel in there as well. Is this situation for you one of these where, you know, like the Mostert point, the bet isn't too massive, so you want to be in on the Bills and one way or another try to pick up one of these guys?
I think that the Shakir is the one, if you want to get in on somebody, because of the chemistry, because of Curtis Samuel and Turf Toe, And what really hurts about the turf toe injury is that it is an injury that lingers. It's an injury that doesn't necessarily get better except with rest. And Samuel is the only receiver on that roster that can take the top off of a defense. So your glass half empty take on the Bills is if they can't force defenses to defend that deep part of the passing game, then it's going to be a lot easier to defend everything else. Dalton Kincaid is the other guy, of course, we have to think about as someone that can emerge as a true number one target. But every single time, Mike, every time they talk about the offense, they say everybody's going to eat. I think this is going to be an offense. And it looked like this under Joe Brady last year. Different weeks, different players will take the lead, which I think is a sign of game-to-game game planning, which is what you want, but a nightmare for fantasy football.
Right. You mentioned Christian Watson earlier. Is that the Packers for you, too, or is it different?
Probably. Especially, you know who I like? And here's another late-round pick for you, Tucker Kraft. This is a guy that everybody who's been watching Packers practices over the last week or two say, wow, okay, Tucker Kraft is ready. And he missed the offseason with a pec tear, but he's back. And we saw him last year look like one of the most fun guys to watch after the catch. And he doesn't take much. The bar is so much lower at tight end, so I'm interested in him. But, yeah, I think that Christian Watson is the guy to take for the Packers because he is operating in that deep passing game where it doesn't take much. It doesn't take many targets. If the Packers spread it around, Christian Watson, if targets are coming 20, 30 yards downfield, he doesn't need many targets. And he was starting to return to form with the deep touchdowns last year before he got hurt the second time. So I think Christian Watson is a terrific player to look at around the seventh or eighth round, right there with someone like Jameson Williams. These receivers who could be boom bust options, but when they're your flex or your number three wide receiver, you can tolerate that.
Mm-hmm. Another guy in this context, so Keenan Allen's your wide receiver three in Chicago, Diggs wide receiver three in Houston, with younger options above them. How about Hollywood Brown? Is he somebody you might avoid? Is he number three for you in Kansas City?
He's number three just because now I think today the latest is he's not expected to play in week one. So he's falling. I think you may see him start to be a value at number nine or number 10. I'm sorry, the ninth round or 10th round, because we did see that great chemistry between him and Patrick Mahomes early in camp before he had that sternoclavicular injury, as a good Scrabble word.
Nice.
And this is a guy who, with Kyler Murray, before he got hurt, before Murray got hurt, looked like a fantasy top 10, top 12 receiver. So it doesn't take much. And I think that just underscores, Mike, the possibility that this is, I know this is bad to be saying to a Buffalo audience, this is a potential revenge tour year for the Chiefs. This is a potential year where the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes really sow their oats, throwing downfield with Xavier Worthy, with Marquise Brown, with Kelce and Rice underneath. So I do think we could see two or even all three of the Chiefs receivers outperform ADP this year.
It's going to sting here if Worthy is a big part of that. I mean, the Bills essentially traded him to Kansas City. So, you know, there's that too. The next time, because I'll think of you the next time my wife lays out clavicular on the Scrabble board and I just drop sterno right on top of it. 15, isn't it 15 by 15? That's just like, perfect. That'd be the greatest play ever. Which rookie receiver, maybe it's Worthy, I don't know. Which rookie receiver will you have the most of?
It's Worthy or Odunze. Really, I'm looking at the sixth round as a good round for both of those guys. And I think in the case of Worthy, we could just see memories of Tyreek Hill come to life where no one can run with him. And that's really scary. And it doesn't take much. I know people are saying, what about Roshi Rice? Hey, six catches for 60 yards in a PPR league is the same as one 50-yard touchdown. And that's Xavier Worthy's calling card. And Odunze, I think you just have the chemistry between him and Caleb Williams. And we thought of, as draft analysts, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Rome Odunze as pretty close in terms of prospects. Yeah. Any of them would have been the number one wide receiver in a lot of drafts, maybe even the number one pick in some drafts. Odunze is falling 3-4 rounds after Harrison and Nabers, I guess, on expected volume, which is reasonable, but that is a massive gap. When the talent gap is not that large, I like taking Odunze.
I love that. I love betting on the rookies. You know, it's often enough that they just show up and, oh, yeah, they're great. I heard they were great. I knew they were young. I was scared to pick them, but don't be scared to pick them. I'm with you on that. Which quarterback will you have the most of?
Probably Jaden Daniels.
There it is.
And I may regret it because I had most Anthony Richardson last year, and I did regret it because it's the injury concern. But Jaden Daniels, his floor is Justin Fields. That's his floor for fantasy. If he is just a reasonably effective passer for a rookie, we're looking at a potential top five quarterback. Although, on the subject of Odunze and Keenan Allen, I am starting to wonder if we've been underrating Caleb Williams. And if Caleb Williams actually is the guy that's going 11th, 12th in drafts. Opening up against Tennessee and their new-look secondary, we always like to pick on Tennessee. I have a feeling that Caleb Williams is going to be one of the players that is getting headlines after week one.
Love it. Sigmund, it's been a great summer. I hope it's been one for you. Any final thoughts or questions for me?
No, are you enjoying now? I feel like you are firmly in the rain trust of fantasy football. How does it feel?
I'm kind of blown away. And you're my origin story. You're a big or a part of it. I'm kind of blown away that I get this sort of, like, I guess, respect or credibility. Yeah. You know what I need to do now? Win. Right? Like, I get invited into stuff that you're in sometimes, and I feel like I'm doing about as well as I can do in that area. But you need to win, too. That helps.
Hey, it's still about the friends we make along the way.
That's right. As long as you're just not drowning in, leagues and whatever else. Thank you, Sigmund. I'm glad we were able to reach you.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, Mike.
Sigmund Bloom, Football Guys. And I forgot to ask him the one running back question. Oh, he's gone. Right now, I think I'll have time in this break. A caller last hour said, how does the strategy change if your league only starts one running back? And I'm going to go test that if I have time to do it here on the Football Guys app. 803-0550. Fantasy, great. It's that time of year. You know, for some of us, it always is. But maybe it is for you. And last call for overall Bills predictions, vibes, as we get to the end of the offseason. Next week, we'll start getting into the game and injuries and everything else, point spreads, all that fun stuff, guests, Ross Tucker, Joe Ostrowski, etc. We still have today, or what's left of it, to kind of call our shots for this year. There's been a lot of doubting with the Bills this year, or at least compared to recent years. And as we get to the end here, has that sunk in, or has that sort of reached you, or have you been able to resist it? Anything? 803-0550. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.